is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Hello, I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we're inviting you to join us for Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT, KQJO, every Saturday from 11 until 12 o'clock p.m., praying for your most urgent prayer needs.
Prayer changes everything.
Well, 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 praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And all of his hosts, thank you, thank you, thank you all near and far for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on this station. I'm your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 36 years, none other than in the person of...
Lady Townsend.
Amen. Lady Townsend, praise be to God. And we just thank and praise God for you. You and you joining us again on this fabulous day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And aside from everything that's going on around us, we know that this world is going through much turmoil. We understand that there are many people that are going through severe trials and tribulations. There are many people that have lost loved ones, leaving them at rapid rates. But beloved people of God, listen, Jesus Christ is still in charge, always has been, always will be. On that note, we're going to ask our Lady Townsend to share a scripture with us, and then we're going to go before the throne of grace in Jesus' name.
Amen. Coming up in the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. And it reads as this: "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that you may be, that may be your good work, which shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Father, we thank you today. We thank you because you are mighty God. We thank you because there's nobody like you. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, thanking and praising you for all the things that you have done. God, you brought us a mighty long way. And for that reason, God, we owe you. We owe you a praise. We owe you, God. We owe you thanksgiving. We just thank you because you're mighty. We thank you because there's none like you. And even though we're living in the end times, oh, God, you're going to give us peace in the midst of the storm.
Yes.
And God, you have already glorified us, Lord, through your word.
Yes.
You have already blessed us through,
yes,
your word. You have already, oh, God, continue to just lift us up through your word. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful that you are a God that can do all things today. We know you as a doctor, as a healer, as a mind regulator. Oh, God, as a heart fixer. We just thank you today.
Yes.
We bless you and we praise, hallelujah, your holy name. We pray for those that meet you right now.
Yes,
pray for
Lord.
Those behind prison bars.
Yes,
pray for
Lord.
Those hospitals, everywhere, nursing homes. Oh, God, after wards. Everywhere, God, we're just blessing your people and lifting them up and interceding on their behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give your name the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. To all of our brothers and sisters out there, again, we thank and praise God for you. You might be behind prison bars today. You know what? God has not forgotten about you. And I'm so glad that you have not forgotten about God, because you know what? You're,
yes,
lifting up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. You might have a lifetime sentence, but God still cares about you. You might,
amen,
be incarcerated for something that you didn't do, but beloved son and daughter, God still cares about you. Amen.
Yes,
you might be going through tough times behind those prison bars right now. Yes, you're avoiding the gangs. You're avoiding the molestations and the rapes and all of those horrific things that happen behind those prison bars. But my beloved son, my beloved daughter, God cares about you. And you continually to stand on God's word. You continue to stand. You continue to let the other inmates know that Jesus Christ is my first. He's my last. He's my everything.
Yes.
And you know this, according to the word of God, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Amen.
Oh.
Praise be to God. Again, we just bid each and every one of you Godspeed on today, knowing that, amen, God has afforded us to sit in heavenly places, and we're just thankful. We're just appreciative. And don't take it for granted, all of the things that God has done and that God is doing. Amen. God bless you to all of my brothers and sisters out there. Brother Robert Lamar, God bless you. Sister Teresa Branson, God bless you. Amen. To all of Central Louisiana, God bless you. Some parts of Texas, God bless you on today. Arkansas, God bless you. Natchez, Mississippi, St. Joseph, God bless you on today. We're just appreciative. Amen. No, we don't consider ourselves celebrities in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. No, we're just wayfarers going through this way, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen. And we're just trying to let men, women, boys, and girls know about the severity of the hour so that we can be found doing what our Father, our Heavenly Father, has mandated for us to do, because time is seriously running out. Amen. Think about this. Just think about this for a moment. And this can go for the baby boomers as well as even some of the millennials. You never thought that you would see gas getting $5 and $6 and $7 and $8 in some countries. I'm sorry, some cities, $10 and a gallon. You never thought that. I mean, you never thought that you would live to see where a man can identify as a woman and a woman can identify as a man. You never thought you would live to see that. You never thought, to the baby boomers, you never thought that you would live to see that there would be a device, a phone, where you could talk to somebody and see their face and they can see your face. You never thought that that would come to play. But that just goes to show you that even when Daniel began to share with the people and said that knowledge shall increase, knowledge shall be flourishing, and we're in that time right now where knowledge is flourishing on every side. Social media has made it possible for us to do some wonderful things. And watch this. Social media has made it possible for us to do some horrific things. That's right. This device that God gives us, think about this for a moment. Think about this. 500 years ago, if someone saw the device that we're using right now, do you know they would call that witchcraft and sorcery? They would call that witchcraft and sorcery. That's right. That cell phone that you're using right now, that tablet that you're using, they're like, what type of magic is this? What is this? The walkie-talkies that we use today. So we're living in a time right now where, innovation is flooding us. Technology is flooding us. But we still got to be careful, keeping our hearts and minds affixed to the things of Jesus Christ. We've still got to keep our hearts and minds fixed on the things of Jesus Christ, because the enemy's job is to sidetrack us and to detour us. And I'm not talking about living as people that don't know what's going on. We know what's going on around us, but we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us constantly, because, beloved people of God, we are at war. There's a war even going on in the infrastructure of the body of Christ. And you know what? It is the tares against the wheat. The tares are constantly trying to incorporate world-like systems into the church. And then there are those that are in the church that are constantly trying to open the eyes of the people that have fallen asleep. And make no mistake, Jesus knew that these things would unfold. This is the reason why he was very careful to keep his church in the admonition as to what to look out for, and for us to safeguard our hearts and to get back in proper alignment with the things. I've often heard people that have been sick, Lady Townsend, people have been known to have lupus, they've been known to have diabetes, and when they changed their mental diet and then changed their physical diet, some people have told me that, you know what, my insulin level started to readjust itself. Why did that happen? Because of essence, they repented of what they were eating, and they started eating the right things that would bring their body back into proper alignment. Would it be safe to say that if we'd done that same thing spiritually, we would begin to see the move of God that we talk about? Because God has always been moving. We're the ones that haven't been moving. We're the ones that have become sluggish in our things toward God. We're the ones that have turned our backs on God, Lady Townsend. What do you think it's going to take to get us back in proper alignment so that we'll be pleasing to God? Because as Jesus said, I came not to do the works of my own, but that of my Father which sent me. And I can see that we're living in a time now, everybody want to do their own work. But are we really seeking to do the work of our Father that sent us? Lady Townsend, what do you think?
Amen, Bishop. It's so important that we know who we are, first of all. You know, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you know, and a holy nation and a peculiar people.
Yes.
Amen. And we're not going to be doing the same like thing the world is doing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We should have our minds and our whole effort, if we're truly in God.
Yes.
Continuing on the things of God wants for us to do, you know, we won't be like the world. Because
right.
We know what we've been called to do. And we've been called, you know, we've been set apart from this world. Praise
yes.
the Lord. And that's why we don't have the same, you know, the appetite of the world. That's the true saints. Because you see a lot of them do still have the same appetite of the world. The drinking, the smoking, the partying, the getting high, the, you know, all of that kind of stuff over in the church. And that shouldn't be. Amen, because we are peculiar people.
Yes.
We don't do that anymore because God has gotten us out of that.
Yes.
And we, as saints of God, must be about our Father's business.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. The world ain't going to see it the same way we see it.
That's right.
Praise God. Because God has called us higher. He called us out of the world. Amen. He called us to do his work. Praise God. He's already done it, but we got to do some things too down here. Amen. Well, now work don't save us, but while you're down here, we got work to do. We got to pick up that cross and follow him, and it's heavy. Daily, praise God. No cross, no crown. There
yes.
won't be no crown.
Yeah, I believe, too, that we've got to remind people the lateness of the hour. We have to remind them, again, this earth is travailing. This earth is groaning. And when we see all of the things that are unfolding, it just constantly reminds us that we're trying to look at the timeline through our own finite mind. And we're forgetting about the infinite mind of God that said one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. And so when we look around us and see the things that are happening, it would be safe to say that, you know what, it's not far up the road. It's not far up the road. The tribulation a period that we are in right now, because we've always been going through tribulation. But where Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24, where he said, never before in the history of mankind has there been tribulation like this, and never again will it be. We are right at the threshold of that when we see what is going on, when we see what's happening in our court systems, in our judicial systems, in judicial branches, and in our executive orders that are being passed, that are coming against even the very people of God. That right there ought to tell us it's right at the door, people of God, and we've got to safeguard our hearts. We've got to safeguard our minds. We've got to safeguard the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, the cross of Jesus Christ has become an offense to this world. The salvational aspect of Jesus Christ has become an offense to people. And it's just what Jesus said, you will not be celebrated. That's the lie that the false prophets and things are trying to emanate in the minds of people. They can't celebrate you because they hate you. No, he didn't tell us that we were going to be celebrated. Jesus said, you will be hated for my name's sake. And those of you that refute the era of celebration, then you become hated by those that have let the world infiltrate its mind into their spirit. Again, I cannot reiterate this again. It's nothing personal. It cannot be anything personal. When people come against you with the truth and you take it personal, then we're going to find out what happens. Because Jesus has always sought to keep the church in proper alignment. The apostles of old have always sought to keep the church in proper alignment. And yes, a little witchcraft and infiltrated the church. A little sorcery has infiltrated the church. A little mind control has also infiltrated the church. And those of us that continuously seek to hold up the bloodstained banner and to bring people back into proper alignment, you know, If anybody's ever went to a chiropractor, sometimes body parts get out of line, Lady Townsend. If you get a broken bone, do you know that that bone has to be set back right or part of the body is going to grow back disfigured? If you go to a chiropractor, you have a crook in your neck and you can't turn your neck a certain way. Don't you know that that chiropractor has to get you, but he first has to tell you to relax? Why do you wonder? Because if you resist against what he's trying to administer to help you, it may hurt you even more. And this is what we see happening in the body of Christ. People are resisting the help of God's Holy Spirit that is designed to help them, and yet it may hurt for just a little bit, because when you go to that chiropractor and they have to crack those bones back, there's a sudden hurt to it, but then there's a relief that comes with it later on. And the enemy has gotten people to the point where they don't want to change for the better. Oh, they want their pockets fat. Yeah, they want their pockets fat. They want all of the tangible things. But when it comes to spiritually pleasing God, we'll put 10% effort into that. And 90% effort into going after tangible items. And I'm here to tell you, first and foremost, God is not pleased with that. Amen. We're going to be going to the book of Revelation a little bit later on, a book that is often shunned, a book that people don't like to dialogue on, because you know what? It brings us back to truth. And those that have strayed away from it, Lady Townsend, they don't like to talk about it, because anything that's going to bring you back to truth. You go to that doctor, and you've been having shortness of breath, and that doctor tells you, listen, beloved, sir, ma'am, you've got to leave those cigarettes alone yesterday. Now, if you want to live, you're going to tell him, thank you. Doctor, yes, I'm struggling with these cigarettes, and I've been smoking for 30 or 40 years. But if you want to live, your life is more important than those cigarettes. If you want to live, your life is more important than eating those sugary cakes and pies and cookies and things of that nature that is running your blood sugar through the roof, keeping it at 400 and 500. And not accepting the fact that, well, that's normal for me. My blood sugar run around about 200, so that's normal for me. You see, well, Bishop, what's normal for one person ain't normal for everybody. You see how the enemy get us? He gets us in that mode like that. And the word of God is just trying to help us.
Amen. We want to hold on. In other words, we want to hold on to what our flesh wants. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a thing. This flesh is nothing good in it, Bishop. And it's eventually going to overtake you. It's going to kill you. Praise the Lord. And that's why we got to put this flesh under.
Yes.
Because we don't want to die yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the flesh itself, it just wants what it wants. And it's always something that's bad for you.
Yes. Yeah, well, we have to help our brothers and sisters understand this, too. And this is where prayer is important. This is where unity is important. Amen. There are a lot of people that are struggling with certain things, and you should never be afraid to find you somebody that you can confide in and be honest. Amen. And say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm still struggling with pornography. I'm still struggling, amen, with infidelity. I'm still struggling, especially in the body of Christ, because the Bible says, let it not be once named amongst you. But God's grace and mercy, his grace and mercy, amen, will cause us to come in contact with somebody. Watch this. Not that's going to put their foot on your neck. Not that's going to belittle you and to make you feel less than a person. Because the only way you feel less than a person is because sometimes the truth hurts like that. Okay? You know, I watch a show sometime called, I forgot the name of it, My 600-Pound Life. And there's a man on there called Dr. Now. And a lot of times when Dr. Now treats a lot of those patients, they don't like to hear the naked, raw truth of what Dr. Now is saying, okay? And he lets them know that if you want to live, you're going to have to take my advice. Now, I can give you the knowledge, but it's what you do with the knowledge. And the same thing applies with the Word of God. He's given us the knowledge, but what are we doing with that knowledge, Lady Townsend? And if we buck against that knowledge, then we deserve what we get. Amen?
And that's the thing. You know, the word is here. The illustration of the word is here before us.
Yes.
And all we have to do is walk in obedience.
Yes.
And we make up our mind. We've lived for the devil long enough.
Yes.
You know, nothing good come from him. He pimped us long enough. He's used us. He's just done us just bad. And now God wants to, you know, restore us to a place in him that we don't have to go through some of the things that the enemy had us bound in. God can deliver us from everything. Do you want it? Amen. And we always say how bad you want it, but do you truly want to be set free from him?
Yes.
Praise God. Because he's willing that none perish, but all come to repentance. And if we make up our mind and repent of it,
yes,
you know, God's able to restore. He's able to forgive.
Yes.
Amen. He's able to do all of that. But do we want to be set free? Do
Hallelujah.
We want to live a life that's pleasing to him?
Yes.
Do we want to be who he said we could be in him?
Yes.
Praise God.
I can't agree with you more because, you know, and again, I'll tell God's people, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness is already here. Amen. I know a lot of people are still stuck in a traditional mode. They're still stuck in ancient teachings and things of that nature. But brothers and sisters, listen, the Holy Ghost has arrived. Now, this might come as a shock to some. You don't have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. He's here. He has made his descension from heaven, and he's down here in the earth realm. And the most important thing that all you have to do as a believer is open up to him, just like when you got ready to get married. And when you got ready to get married and you stood before that preacher and he asked these words to either the man or wife, he says, "Do you, John, solemnly take this woman in holy matrimony to wed, to cherish, to love, to honor, and to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that until death do you part?" And you said, "I do." You received what the man or the orchestrator of the marriage was endowing you with. And same thing took place for the woman. Do you, Greta Allberry, do you solemnly decree that you will take this man to love, to honor, to cherish, to obey, to blah, 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 whatever the case may be? And when he finishes his admonition to you, you say, "I do." You didn't have to stand up there at the arch and say, "Well, you know what? Let me think about it. Let me give it some thought." Because when you made your way to the altar, your mind was already made up to receive that which you were destined to do, to be this man's wife or to be this woman's husband. Your mind was already made up. The problem why most people aren't receiving the Holy Ghost today is because they're trying to fashion themselves after this new Pringle style. And so they're afraid. They are just like Nicodemus. They're afraid that if we come forward with my tongue that don't sound like theirs, then they're going to say, "I ain't got it." And listen, it doesn't. Nobody has the Holy Ghost to give to you. That's one of the things that you have to understand. And just like a baby, when he first starts articulating sound, it's not intelligible to us. He's cooing. He's making sounds. But he is watching you, how you articulate your sound. And then his little brain starts to kick in. Well, the Holy Ghost is the same way. He don't sound like you right from the beginning. But if he's not a deaf mute, he's going to start articulating. And he's going to start speaking. Okay? Some of us articulate better than others. Even when it comes to the Holy Ghost, some of us will speak in tongue more than others. But that don't mean you ain't got it. Just because God has gifted my mouth to be very good at articulation and you're not, does that mean that you ain't got the Holy Ghost like I got? No. It just means that where our heart is, our treasure will be there. And where the church's heart is now, whether you want to believe it or not, is getting back in proper alignment with the things of God. Well, you know, Bishop Townsend, God give us all different ministries. No, no, no. I'm sorry. There's no different ministries. There's just one ministry. It might be packaged differently. Huh? Just one ministry. It might be packaged differently. It might be packaged in a guy 6'5" versus another guy 4'5". But it's still the same ingredient. It's not different. It might be in a woman that's a 6'2" versus one that's 4'7". But it's the same ingredient. The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to bring people back to the thing of. We all may not articulate this thing in the same like manner. Okay? God has given some people the gift of teaching. That's their gift. Okay? What we call preaching today ain't really preaching. It's just emotionalizing. Yeah, because I've been there, done that. Then done the squeaking and the squalling and hollering. Amen. And then found out, you know what? A lot of people are causing their hearts to race. trying to be like these people of old, the Leo Daniels and the C.L. Franklins and stuff like that. And they're killing themselves trying to be like somebody else. And we'll stand there and say, you know what? I just want to be like Jesus. No, 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 you don't. You want to be like C.L. Franklin. You want to be like whatever his name is, Leo Daniel. That's who you want to be like. Because I guarantee you, Jesus did not bring forth the word like that. But coming up in an era where people ascribe to that type of thing, we thought that's what preaching was. But I assure you, it was more entertainment than it was preaching. Because how many people got delivered from that? Oh, we heard a lot of people screaming and hollering. Of course we did, Lady Townsend. We heard them falling out. And as soon as they got through falling out, they was on their way to the juke house after everything was over. After they did all that screaming and hollering, they was on their way on the turn road after they did all that screaming and hollering. So there was no deliverance in that. But the Holy Ghost has come to show us a more excellent way, Lady Townsend. What do you think?
And one thing about the Holy Spirit, Bishop, like I said earlier, you know, God, he wants us truly to give over to the things of him. And, you know, he will not, you know, if you come to the Lord, he won't turn you away. Amen. That's why we instruct every day and intercede for people because, you know, the time is running up.
Yes, it is.
So many are in error, praise God. And when you have a love for souls,
yes.
You know what God has chosen you to do.
Yes.
You have to be about your Father's business. Let's continue to tell the people.
Yes.
You know, that soon and very soon, Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And this is the time. This is the era.
Yes.
That we must be bold. Amen. We got to lift up our voice like a trumpet.
Yes.
Amen. There was some time when, you know, we was not a spirit. God, I don't want to do this. And I don't want to you want to be disobedient. So God will move you out the way, and he'll raise up somebody else
yes.
to do what he's called to do. So we must be obedient. We must be willing, praise God, to do the work of God. And I'm just so glad that God loves us enough to, you know, work with us. Now is the time. If we don't do it now, when?
Yes. Well, this is the reason why the Word of God and the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ came to bring us back again into proper alignment so that we can do this. Listen, even my sisters out there that love your hair, because the Bible said a woman's hair is her glory. But when you get ready to look at your hair and you begin to see, and I didn't understand all this, but I just listened to how women talk about stuff, and they was talking to the other girls at the beauty shop, and they say, girl, I had to cut all my split ends off and cut all the bad stuff off so that I could get another new growth. Well, the same thing applies spiritually. You've got to cut some stuff off so that the new growth of God's Holy Spirit can bring you to a substantial level to where you are now pleasing God. And that's what it's all about, pleasing God. See, again, the world system has crept into the church. And
yes.
Because the world system has crept into the church, Jesus, in the book of Revelation, has to address these things that have transpired. He's willing that none perish, but that all come to repentance. And again, the book of Revelation is a book that brings the church back to a level of repentance. No wonder it's the last book in the Bible. It's the last book because it's most often less read. And because it's most often left read, it has the most important information that we need to go by.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can help to recolonize this earth back to the way that Jesus Christ wants it to be. See, there can be no proper recolonization without knowing and having the mandate in your heart. Remember when after the flood, Jesus wanted them to recolonize the earth. But because Nimrod's heart was still not right, instead of him doing what God told him to do, he devised his own way. It would be safe to say that many preachers, many apostles, bishops, and elders have concocted their own way of doing things, and God's grace and mercy is affording us the opportunity to retract what we're doing and get back in proper alignment. Yet Nimrod said, God told us to spread out and to replenish the earth and be fruitful and multiply and redo it. But you know what? Forget what God say. I'm running this show. Y'all are my members, and you're going to do what I say do until I say different. We're going to stay together. And as a matter of fact, God ain't really even talking to us no way. So you know what we're going to do? Since he don't want to talk to us, we're going to talk to him. We're going to build us a tower. And you know what? He's going to talk to us one way or other. A spirit of rebellion.
That's right.
Has overtaken the church. A rebellious spirit has overtaken the prophets. Has overtaken the prophetesses, has overtaken the seers. A rebellious spirit has overtaken the congregation to whereas we want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it. And yet Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And unfortunately, because of religiosity, many people don't, Lady Townsend, don't know the voice of Jesus. Yeah, they know the voice of pastor. They know the voice of apostle. They know the voice of prophetess, but they don't know the voice of Jesus. And only those that are sold out to God will renounce you knowing my voice. And I want you to know the voice of Jesus, because it is he who empowers me to share with you the pure, unadulterated word of God. That's what we want God's people to know. We're going to be going to the book of Revelations. So I want y'all to get y'all Bibles out and to understand why Jesus found it needful as well as expedient to get the church back in proper lining, because, again, he even talks about if the church does not repent, he is going to remove the candlesticks. What is the candlestick's job? To bring illumination. We have a responsibility. And if we don't own up to that responsibility, God will move us out of the way and put somebody else there more notable. Watch this. They ain't got to have a prestigious title behind their name. They ain't got to be and went to seminary school and seminary college. They ain't got to have no doctor attached to their name. God will take a little nothing nobody, just like he showed when he got ready to anoint David. A little stinky ruddy boy that had sheep doo-doo all over him. Took him and raised him up and made him king over Israel. God is looking for somebody that will obey him.
Preach. Yes.
So we're trying to get all of these fancy titles behind our name. I'm Reverend, Doctor, Apostle, Bishop, this, that, and the other.
Please.
And they ain't got a nickel's worth of anointing.
Nothing.
Can't rebuke a demon off of anything.
Christ.
But, you know, we have got to get back to what God wants us to do. Amen.
That's right.
Lady Townsend, I'm going to take a break, and I want you to get the book of Revelations out. Amen. I want you to get the book of Revelations out. Amen. We're not taking any a prayer call right now. We're going to get that just a second. Amen. Whoever's calling, caller who's calling, you got to call back. I got to take this break, and I want to share this with God's people. Amen. I got to share this with God's people here. This is some news that you can use that's happening in your neighborhood and surrounding areas. This is in conjunction with the Boyce Police Department and Rapides Parish Housing Authority, inviting you to take part in their Father's Day celebration. This will be June 19th. Unifying and strengthening families to save our children. This will take place at the Julius Patrick Center baseball field. Tailgating starts at 2 o'clock p.m. until, inviting you to enjoy a day of fun Sunday afternoon the old-fashioned way. There's going to be live music, kickball, dominoes, spades, friendly children's games, food, and you can bring your own chair. They're admonishing you to bring your own chair. Again, this will take place June the 19th, a Father's Day celebration. Wow. For us? For real? We don't get nothing. Praise be to God. Okay, in the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church, they're inviting you to take part in their vacation Bible school. They're asking everyone to get ready and get excited. This will take place at the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church, June the 20th. That's Monday, June 20th through Saturday the 25th. From 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m., they're inviting all family and friends. Fun day will be Saturday the 25th, starting at 10 o'clock a.m. till 1 o'clock p.m. at the church. And I got a little bit something else I'd like to share with you. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back after this.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the word of God.
To take a stand.
Louisianans come from all different walks of life. Whether you work in an office or on a farm, love hunting or enjoy crabbing, it's time we all stepped up and gave COVID the boot. If you're vaccinated, get the booster for maximum protection. If you're not, get vaccinated so you don't get sick or pass the virus on to someone who is vulnerable, like a baby or an older person. So, no matter what you wear on your feet, step up, Louisiana, and let's all give COVID the boot.
Brought to you by the Louisiana Department of Health and this station.
Hello, I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we're inviting you to join us for Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT, KQJO, every Saturday from 11 until 12 o'clock p.m., praying for your most urgent prayer needs.
Prayer changes everything.
And we're back. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints with your host. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 36 years, none other than in the person of...
Amen. I'm Lady Mildred Townsend.
Amen. Listen, we're going to open that prayer line, but I want to share this with God's people. Lady Townsend, do you have your Bible with you?
Yes, I do, Bishop.
All right, I want you to go to... We're going to read several scriptures right quick, and then we're going to open up that prayer line in about another 5 minutes or so. The book of Revelation, chapter number 1, and I want you to start reading at verse number 17, 1 and 17, and then we're going to skip over to chapter number 2. Because, again, this book is often neglected, just like they were neglecting the widows and the orphans. This book is one of the most neglected books in the Bible. We got to find out why. Why is this book so neglected? What is it that Satan is using to attack? And I'm going to tell you why he attacks this book, because Jesus knows where he really is and whose heart he's really residing in. Go ahead, Lady Townsend.
Amen. You said the 1 and 1?
No, 1, 17.
Okay, 1 and 17. Okay, I got it. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Keep going.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death.
All right. Now, I want you to skip over to chapter number 2. Because chapter number 2 is for us. And if we don't understand exactly what God is saying to us in this dispensation of time, you know, everybody likes to say, well, you know what? In this season, God is getting ready to do this. And in this season, God is getting ready to do that. God ain't getting ready to do nothing. In this season, God has already done it. The question is, in this season, what are you getting ready to do? In this season, are you preparing to obey God? In this season, are you getting ready to undo the wrong that you've been doing and walk in a way that's pleasing to God? In this season, are you ready to repent and said, Father, forgive me, for I knew not what I was doing. But Lord, because of your Holy Spirit redirecting, because you know what? He came to lead us into all truth and righteousness. Number 2. Starting at verse number 2, what does it say, Lady Townsend?
I know thy works.
Wait a minute. Are you watching me, Jesus? Huh? I'm starting to feel like Rockwell. I always feel like somebody's watching me. But are you telling me that you're watching me? Read, Lady Townsend. I what?
I know thy works.
I know your works. And what else?
And thy labor.
So you say that you're working for me. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. But it ain't about you, Townsend. It's about me. Your labor is toward me. Your pastoralship is about me. Amen. Your leading the congregation is about me, Townsend. It's not about you. It never has been, and it never will be. Go ahead.
And thy patience.
Uh-huh.
And how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Wait just a minute. So now you call me a hater because I call out the inadequacies that are going against the principles and the oracle of God, and yet God knows that we're trying to weed out the tare from the wheat. Because anybody that's chosen to be a tare has chosen to become evil. And God says, Jesus says, I know them, that you can't stand them that are evil. You cannot bear them. So it's not a bad thing to be upset about when you know, as you said earlier, Lady Townsend, folks are being pimped in the name of Jesus. People are being taken advantage of in the name of Jesus. Folks are being prophesied to in the name of Jesus. And yet we know that they are operating in evil. Go ahead, Lady Townsend.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not.
Now that could be a...
them liars.
That can be a teaching series all in itself.
Come on.
That right there alone. Listen, there are many men and women right now that must repent because God ain't chose you to be no apostle.
That's right, Bishop.
You chose yourself to be an apostle. And not only, now watch this now.
But
this going to hurt a little bit. This going to hurt a little bit. But it's going to hurt enough for you to retract so that you can get right. All liars shall have their part
in the lake of fire
that burn with fire and brimstone. And when it's all said and done, we've got a lot of folks calling themselves apostles that God ain't called.
God ain't called them.
And so, therefore, you've tried them. You know how you tried them and found out that they're not apostles? Because they're not bringing you up to what God wants you to know in this end time. They're only talking about getting riches and blessings and this, that, and the other, and not preparing God's people for the coming of the Lord. Thou hast tried them and found them to be liars. Go ahead, Lady Townsend. What else to say?
And hath borne, and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted.
For his name's sake. It ain't about your name's sake. It ain't about Moments of Inspiration's namesake. It's not about Bethel Apostolic's namesake or Second Mount Carmel Baptist Church namesake. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's about his namesake that we have, listen, hazarded our lives for the truth of the things of Jesus Christ. What does it say?
Number four, nevertheless.
Wait a minute.
I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love.
Wait just a minute. Hold it just a second. I've got somewhat against you, Reverend, Doctor, Bishop, Apostle, Missionary, Seer, Elder, minister, I've got somewhat against you because you have left your first love. See, this is the reason why Satan fights this book so, because this book is bringing us back to the realization, as I often tell people, if you're riding in a train and the train derails in New York, it cannot be re-railed in Baltimore, Maryland. You must get back on track where you get off at. And this is what the book of Revelation is explaining to God's people, the church. I have somewhat against you because what did your first love constitute? Well, let's just go there for a second, Lady Townsend. My first love constituted that I didn't care about being rich. I didn't care about being famous. I didn't care about being wealthy. I didn't care about having a big house on a hill. I didn't care about having a Cadillac car and a Mercedes-Benz and having hundreds of millions of dollars. I didn't care about all that. All I cared about was that my name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that mattered to me more than life itself. But we've strayed away from that. And I've got somewhat against you because you, church, you, Zion, you have left your first love. You, preacher, you've left your first love. You, bishop, apostle, evangelist, you've left your first love. Now you've made it all about your agenda, and you're not concerned about Jesus' agenda. So therefore, I have somewhat against you. What else?
Amen. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. My God, my God.
Eli had the ability to do that, but he didn't do it. Instead of Eli reprimanding his sons who were part of the priesthood, he allowed them to go and do things that was sacrilegious in the sight of God. And this is what's going on. See, a real man or woman of God can never go along to get along. And this is what Jesus is telling us in the book of Revelation. I love you, but I cannot go along with you to get along with you. It's my way, not your way. You've got to stay affixed to what my word is saying. You have strayed away from being totally committed and sold out to me, and the way of this world and the Luciferian spirit and doctrine has now infiltrated its way back into your life. You left that life. You left that, Lord, if you just save me, God, and fill me with your Holy Ghost. And now it's all about you. It's all about you, your dream, your vision. It ain't God's vision. It's your vision now. It's your dream. And so the dream killers tried to kill your dream. Listen, what God gives you, that's the thing about it. We like to use Joseph as a lie. God gave Joseph a dream. Listen to what you said. God gave Joseph a dream. Most of us are coming up with our own dream. Listen, anybody can have an aspiration to own their own business. Anybody can have an aspiration, amen, to go to college and to do this and that and the other. But that doesn't necessarily constitute it's God-given. See, God-given things are going to benefit everybody in a God-given way. But if your dream is just talking about be all you can be, listen, go on and do this. There's haters out there trying to stop you, and they don't want to see you succeed. Listen, when God is in it, can't nobody stop you from succeeding. But mind you, one thing, trials and tribulations going to come with it, Lady Townsend.
Yes.
I got one more thing I got to share with them too, Lady Townsend, before we go. I have one more thing to share with them. I need you to skip down. Because we done left our first love. And the Bible said that seducing spirits would come upon the church. Seducing spirits are upon the church now. Many people, God's people, are being seduced. They are being, listen. The seducing spirit would be akin to that of a prostitute. A prostitute is seductive. And a prostitute will be anything to that man that he needs her to be just so that she can get his money. Look how y'all getting quiet on me.
Well, that's the truth.
Look how you getting quiet on me. Many men have taken on the prostitute spirit, even within the infrastructure of the body of Christ. They'll say what they think you want to hear just to get in your pocket and get that money. Look how y'all getting quiet on me. Lady Townsend, skip down to verse 12. Read that for me.
12 says, and the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things say, he which has the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy word, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth.
Keep going.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who brought Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication.
Hold up just a second, because I'm going to need you to skip over to verse number 22 after this. Now, the doctrine of Balaam is just like this. This done crept into the church. All the preachers now want to do, all the prophets and prophetesses want to do now is speak a blessing on you.
All right. Remember
when the king came to Balak and said, listen, I want you to curse God's people. And he said, I cannot curse what God has blessed. But he was known. He was
yes.
known for that type of spiritual power that what he spoke came to pass. And so now that spirit of rebellion that got on Balaam done got on the prophets and the prophetesses of today. And so now they're operating in that spirit of rebellion.
Come on.
And when you operate in that spirit of rebellion, you know what? That means now you're doing what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do in that era.
That's dangerous.
Hey, Balaam, I'm going to give you some money, and I need you to curse these people. God done told you don't entertain the thought of that. Huh? God done already told you love not the world, neither the things in the world, for all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and yet you're entertaining that. And so then what happened? Because he sought to go on his own way, God had an angel with a sword drawn, cut him down. I keep telling y'all, preachers are being cut down. Preacher husbands are being cut down. Preacher wives are being cut down. Young preachers are being cut down. Look, we've got to repent and say, Lord, just like the prodigal son, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son or daughter, but Lord, if you'll take me back. Verse number 20, Lady Townsend, this is where we are now. This is the era that has crept into the church too. Go ahead, Lady Townsend, read verse number 20.
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
Now, Jezebel has tempted you to get back into the bed with riches instead of getting in sackcloth and ashes and saying, Lord, renew the right spirit within me, create in me the clean heart. Praise be to God. Let me get this. Lady Townsend, hold on just a second. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us what your prayer request might be?
Yes, Bishop Townsend. This is Brother Steve from Coachella.
God bless you, Brother Steve.
Man, I hate to interrupt. Lady Townsend has got me going.
Yes, sir.
Man, that word is rich.
It's real.
Woo! Lord, how much?
It's real.
Yes, my Lord. Well, Bob, that word just blessed me. I was trying to hear. I said, but I want to call, but I hate to interrupt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it's all right, Brother Steve, because listen, your heart is right in this matter. And when your heart is right in the matter, then it becomes acceptable in God's sight.
Yes, sir. But I just need prayer for my family. My brother, he's incarcerated. Just want to know this.
Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord God, humbly as your servant, as your manservant, Lord God. And I ask you now, as I touch and agree with Brother Steve, that you will have mercy upon his brother that is incarcerated, Lord. I know the nosy people want to know why, but that's not their business.
Yes,
but, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will take his incarceration, use it in a way that he will surrender his whole heart, mind, body, and soul to you.
Yes,
Father, we know that you are able to expedite him to be able to get out. And, Father, even as Jesus told the disciples that when they go look for the donkey, if any man asks, what are you doing? Tell them the master has use. Father, you have use for him even behind prison bars right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan, we loose you of your assignment over him.
Yes,
and
God.
Father, we proclaim the salvation of our Lord and Jesus Christ to make its way to his mind, to his heart, and to his spirit. Father, don't give him peace until he surrenders everything over to you in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, we thank you that it is done in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, Brother Steve. God bless you. I love you, man. I got another call here.
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. All right, caller. This is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us what your prayer request might be?
My prayer request is, it's for these 19 kids that got killed, and for praise for their family.
Yes.
And the two teachers that got killed, and the one that's in Texas, and also the one that got killed back here at the Benton apartment back here. I want to say a prayer for his mother, because I know how it feels to lose a child. But they're losing a child both ways. One, they cannot find them. Two, but when they do find them, their mother's still going to lose them, because they're going to jail for doing things they have no business. Now, this mother's got to bury her child. They don't know. All they want to know is gun. But they just don't know how the mother feels.
Yes.
When you got to say goodbye to your child for the last time, it's a hurting feeling. And
yes.
I just want you to say a prayer for them.
All right. Lady Townsend, come on, let's pray with our sister concerning that.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
And Lord, we lift up mothers all over this
yes,
world.
Yes, Lord. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
That goes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That needs that comfort.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Needs your touch right
thank
now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father,
yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, you're the only one can do it.
Yes.
Lord, you're the only one can touch it.
Yes,
you're the
Lord.
Only one can heal
hallelujah.
This right now.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Father,
Jesus.
Help our community.
Thank you,
Father,
Lord.
Help our world today.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we can't make it without you.
Yes,
Lord. Help us to know that you're the only one that
thank
we can
you,
look
Jesus.
To
yes,
and
Lord.
Get that support from. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, for what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, in this moment.
Yes,
in Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Jesus'
amen.
Name. Amen. God bless you, beloved.
Amen.
We thank you. Thank you. Hey, listen, y'all. All right, I got another call. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, sir. Bishop Townsend, Minister Mildred, this is Cornelius White in Alexandria.
Amen.
Got some answered prayer. A friend of mine gave me some money, so I'll be in church tomorrow. If you're having church tomorrow at the same place.
All right. We're going to call you as soon as we get off the air.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
well,
sir.
God bless y'all, and thank y'all for praying for me and stuff.
Yes.
And like the other lady said, we need to pray for all our children.
Yes.
Because this is a wicked world
yes.
entering in.
Yes.
And we've just turned against God. I've been here 61 years, and I think you're a little bit older than me. We used to have the Bible. We used to have prayer in school.
I still got mine, Brother Cornelius.
Well, I know, but
I still got mine.
I read the Bible too, just like you do, and it says God controls everything, so He'll let the wicked rule.
Mm.
So it's not about politics; it's about letting the wicked rule, and that you know, that's what God controls everything.
Yes,
and He allows things.
That's right.
But we got to choose right and wrong.
That's right, Brother Cornelius.
That's the key.
Amen.
Not the politics. Choose right and wrong.
Amen. I got another call coming through.
All right. God bless
you. All right. Hello, caller. This is Moments of Inspiration. I got about 1 minute. Hello, caller. I've got about 1 minute. This is Moments of Inspiration. Who do we have there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. This is Moments of Inspiration. What can we do for you? I've got about
a
minute.
This is Monique Johnson from Clearwater, Florida.
Monique from Florida, God bless you. What can we pray with you about?
I'm calling for prayer for the family and my boys. I got teenage boys, and I was just put in the situation to where I might have hurt somebody.
I see.
And I just need prayer for my boys, myself, and to keep them out of trouble.
Yes, ma'am.
Keep them going the right way.
God knows all about it. Lady Townsend, come on, let's touch and agree with our sister. I got about 1 minute.
Lord, we thank you. We lift up our sister Monique and her sons, Lord. Lord, ain't nothing like a mother's love for her children. And nothing
yes,
like
Lord.
A mother's love for her
yes,
children.
Lord.
Father, touch right
in
now.
In the name of
Lord,
Jesus.
Lord, God, help the young people
right
today.
Now, Father.
Oh, God, renew their minds. Give them a mind. Hallelujah, to seek you. There's nothing in this world, hallelujah, that would do them any good, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
But in you, God, they'll find their whole fulfillment. Unless you draw them, God, they can't be drawn. And God, we're counting on you to draw the young people today in the mighty name of Jesus. God, protect them, God, in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus in this situation. Hallelujah. We speak comfort even to the mom mind in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for the work that you have started. You shall complete it.
We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you. And since it has, feel free.